as we continue our series on Sunday mornings. And it came to pass, at the end of two full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. We'll stop right there for just a second. It came to pass. So those are vital, that's a vital phrase. Those are vital words for all of us today. And it was a vital phrase and word in Joseph's life. Remember last week we left off with Joseph in prison. As a matter of fact, when we think of prison, let me tell you what the Bible says prison was like in Joseph's day. The book of Psalms 105 is a reference, according to Bible scholars, it's a reference to Joseph being in prison. So Psalm says this about prison that Joseph is in, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. So the historians of the Bible describe Joseph in a dungeon where he wore an iron collar around his neck. He wore iron fetters or leg irons on his ankles. The outer skin of both his neck and his ankles were scraped, torn, hurt, infected with every move he made. For 10 years, he's been forgotten. You know, we talked about last week, two guys got out, he interpreted the dreams, and he said, "Remember me." And for 10 years, he's still in prison. According to the book of Psalms, according to Bible scholars, it wasn't no picnic being in prison. You're talking about a guy who's been mistreated. Joseph's mom dies when he was just a small boy. His brothers turned on him. They sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. Here's a guy that just did right. Here's a guy that worked hard. Here's a guy that stayed pure. I guess we could say if there was any guy ever, any person ever, who could have been better and would have been okay, we could say maybe Joseph. But I love how verse 41 begins, chapter 41. It came to pass. All the things Joseph went through. And as far as we know, no resentment ever came from his lips. Not a word of blame against his brothers. No bitterness, as far as we know, against Potiphar's wife. No betrayal against the chief butler. All these long, grinding years in prison, God was teaching Joseph patience, dependence. Let me ask you this morning. Have you experienced God's waiting rooms in your life? A time when you feel, you might feel it today, but a time when you felt or you feel today that you've been forgotten. Has God forgotten my address, my email, my phone number, my cell number? Seems like you're nowhere to be found. Can I just tell you, based on this story of Joseph and based on many other stories in Scripture, can I just tell you that God's delays are not God's denials? Life's not fair to many, and it's never easy. But if you're going through a struggle, you're going through a crisis, you're going through a situation like all of us have,
They're designed by the Creator God to grow our faith, to grow our dependence, not on our own hands, not on our government, but to grow our faith and dependence upon the Creator God, who's prepared us for something He knows, a purpose that He has for us, a plan that He has for us, something better. And so we can relate, some of us can relate to Joseph. In chapter 41, we're going to see Joseph's prophecy forecast. In verse 1, it came to pass, and it talks about for 2 full years after the butler left, that he's been forgotten, left in prison all alone. And lo and behold, the Pharaoh has a dream. It, between verses 1 and verse 8, I'll just read verse 8. And it came to pass, there's that word again, that phrase again in the morning, that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. He dreams a dream. He dreams some dreams twice. The Bible says he wakes up troubled and bothered, curious. He calls for the who's who of dream interpreters and magicians and wise men of their day. And they go to their Egyptian gods to get the answer, and they draw a blank. When you read that portion, you go like, hey, I see it coming together. Hey, I kind of understand now. Because you can see God working behind the scenes. You can see that God's in full control. When it comes to a king and a pharaoh who had a dream and he can't get it interpreted. The wise men he called had no idea. They had no clue. Then out of nowhere, the chief butler remembers Joseph. And he tells the king how a Hebrew servant in prison interpreted history. Verse 12 tells us, And there was there with us in a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. This king is the single most important man in the world in this day. He's bothered. He's disturbed. He's desperate to find out what that dream must mean. And he hears from his chief butler, and he sends for Joseph in verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. God's working. God always knows. God's in control. Look at me in verse 14 and verse 15. They brought him out of the dungeon. And Pharaoh said to him, verse 15, Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret. Joseph's been in prison for 10 years, for the Bible scholars. Four walls was his whole world for 10 years. All of a sudden, now he's standing outside those four walls, outside prison, outside being locked up with fetters and irons. And now he's in front of the most powerful guy in the world. He's standing in the presence of the palace, the presence of majesty in that day for Egyptians. Golden throne, ivory pillars, members of the high court. chief and religious leaders of the Egyptians, the who's who in the pecking order, when Pharaoh called for a Hebrew slave. Pharaoh says, "Sir, I understand that you are an interpreter of dreams." And Joseph is so real. He's so honest. Look what he says in verse 16. "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer." What a display of humility, honesty. Joseph could have taken credit. He could have made himself look good. But Joseph, what he did in his actions, his conduct, his behavior, he simply was all about the Lord. Wow, what a guy. Let me just tell you, when life gets complicated, and it does, God alone is worthy of the praise. And that's what we see in Joseph's life. Then Joseph interprets the dream. Your dream means there's going to be a 14-year span of time. 7 of those years, he's telling the Pharaoh, king there, 7 years there's going to be a bumper crop. There's going to be plenty, abundance, extra bountiful crops, fruit. It's going to be followed by 7 more years of famine, grieving, sore, desolate famine. So secondly, we see how Joseph interprets the dream and tells him what's happening. And so now we're going to see Joseph's proactive formula. In verse 33, look what it says. "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man of discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." Verse 35, "And let them gather all the food of the good years that come, and lay up corn under the land of Pharaoh," or under the hand of Pharaoh, "and let them keep food in the city." Verse 36, "And that food shall be in store through the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine." So he said, man, just find out, just select a man that can be in charge, large and in charge for 14 years. He says, "Men, gather up everything, and 1/5 of everything we gather up in the first 7 years of plenty, that's 20%, put that 20% of all crops produced and store it. And then use that stuff that's in storage for the 7 bad years, hard years, desolate years that are going to come." So Joseph simply gives a very simplistic, explainable plan to this fella that had these dreams. In verse 38, "And Pharaoh said in his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to my words shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said, verse 41, "I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Joseph becomes the Old Testament Cinderella. I mean, think about it. Joseph goes from the bottom to the top. He goes from the runt of the family to the ruler of the most powerful nation in the world. He goes from the pit where he was left to die to the palace. He goes from rags to riches. from having nothing to having everything. It shall come to pass. But we don't like that waiting time. We don't like that time where we're scratching our head and we're doing our we're rolling our thumbs. We don't like that time in our life. Scripture shows us time and time again in Scripture where God's always has a plan and a purpose, and God's working behind the scenes. And man, when He comes through, does He ever? He goes from a slave to being the overseer. The greatest nation on earth at that time. From the dungeon, the second in power. Bible scholars call this position, this man that he's been promoted to, they call that position the Grand Vizier. In the absence of the king, Joseph was in charge. If the king wasn't around, Joseph made the decision. He called the shots. A Hebrew. He didn't belong. He wasn't even an Egyptian, and God promoted him. Can I just tell you that God and God alone is the only one that could accomplish this amazing promotion? I mean, God's fingerprints is all over Joseph's life. God's good at that. You might be sitting there saying, man, God can never use me. God can never do anything with my life. I've just bundled up. I've just messed it up. I've just shanked it up. Hey, my life is what it is. Hey, God took a shepherd and made him a king by the name of David. He took a little Moabite girl and made her part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Moabite marries a fellow by the name of Boaz, and they have conception that God gave them. And lo and behold, they're listed in Matthew and Luke's genealogy. That's what God does. He takes clay and molds it over and over. God got your back. God had Joseph's back. Look what it says. It just gets better. He's promoted. Look at verse 42. The Bible says in verse 42, it says, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. It was the signet ring of the king. Hey, in 2024 understanding, here's what the king's giving him. You ready? It's simply like the platinum charge card that has no balance. He said, here you are. Do what you have to do under my authority. Joseph has the authority as the king himself. He can sign and stamp the seal of official business and documentation. Verse 42, look what else it says. He gets a ring in 42. And then it talks about, and he took the ring, and then he gets a robe. And arrayed him in fine linen and put gold chains around his neck. He gets a ring. He gets a robe. He gets a gold chain. In verse 43, he gets a chariot. And he made him to ride in the second chariot. This guy gets an allowance for clothes. He gets a new robe. He gets a gold chain. He gets a signet ring. He gets a company car called a chariot. I mean, hey, think about it. I mean, he's going to travel everywhere, and when people see him, they're going to bow down in reverence to this Egyptian slave who's now the most powerful, second most powerful guy in the most powerful nation in the world. Only God. Then we see in verse 47, the proactive formula that he puts into action here. And then the seven plenteous years of the earth brought forth handful bumper crop. And he gathered it all up, the food of 7 years, and in the land of Egypt, laid up the food in the cities, and the food in the fields around every city. In verse 49, Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering it. It was without number. He wastes no time. I mean, he gets busy. I mean, he gets into action. He rolled his sleeves up and got to work. Man, he's getting involved, in charge. He's useful, and he's taking advantage of the plenteous, the bumper crop. I mean, the harvest, the bounty, the Lord's goodness, and he's simply just putting it aside while everybody's eating really hot. Hey, can I just say this little tidbit here, little nugget here? Let me just say this to you. Let me encourage you and I, us. Hey, let's be frugal. Let's live within our means. Let's save for a rainy day. And that's exactly one of the principles that we're learning there. And a prophecy forecast by interpreting the king's dream. He had a proactive formula by taking 7 years of plenty and making 1/5 or 20% and storing it. And then there's a predicted famine in verse 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according to Joseph. And the dearth was in all the lands. And in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptian, go unto Joseph. He'll tell you what to do. Verse 56, and the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. All the countries came to Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Famine means extreme, limited food source. It's limited. It starts small, grows. All the land of Egypt was affected. All over the earth there was no crops. People was hurting and hungry. People was helpless. And in verse 55, it talks about people begin to cry out for bread. Pharaoh said, not my problem. I've got a guy in charge of that. Go see Joseph. Think about it. Joseph, of all people, holds the keys in his hands of where the vaults of food are stored. He controls who gets what. He controls the abundance of what's in storage. In the midst of life or death, in the midst of famine, he has food. He distributes to the whole world. He don't show favoritism. He distributes to the whole world. Keep them from dying. In chapter 42, it talks about his plan for the food. It says in verse 1, chapter 42, and when Jacob saw that there were corn in Egypt, hold it, time out. Jacob is Joseph's daddy. We're back to Jacob today. And when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, remember the story? The boys hated Joseph. They envied against Joseph. They conspired against Joseph. They sold Joseph. They took that coat of many colors and killed a baby goat and mingled it in the blood and took it to his daddy and said, Daddy, we found this. And the dad was heartbroken and he had a heartache that he said, I know what happened to my boy. All of a sudden, the famine has reached Canaan. And we introduced back to Jacob and those boys. And lo and behold, he's going to send them to go get some food from Joseph of all people. The patriarch Jacob said, there's corn in Egypt, boys. Quit twiddling your thumbs. You guys go down there and get us some food for our people. You ever been hungry? We say we're hungry. Folks were hungry in this day. You ever been completely out of food? In verse 2 and 3 in chapter 42, look what it says. And he said, "Behold, I've heard there's corn in Egypt." This is daddy talking to the boys, Jacob. "You boys get down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." Verse 3, and Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. Geographically, we're talking about Canaan and Egypt. 250 to 300 miles, just so you get an idea. From Fort Smith to Memphis is 300 miles, just to give you an idea about mileage. So from Canaan to Egypt to go get food, 300 miles, 250, 300 miles, no interstates. Could take a few weeks, maybe a month to get go one way. 10 brothers traveling, talking, thinking. They notice the many farms that are dried up as they head to Canaan. Or from Canaan to Egypt. They see crews of slaves out there trying to pick anything they can find that would be edible during the famine. No doubt their minds are thinking in the past. Is one of those slaves our brother Joseph? Could it be? Did that subject matter ever come up? Could he be in that group? It's been 20 years. It's been 20 years since Joseph was sold. All of a sudden, Daddy Jacob sent his other 10 brothers to come to Egypt to buy corn so they'll live and not die, unbeknownst to them, the guy in charge of their brothers. Verse 6 says, and Joseph was a governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brother came, bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Think about it. Think about the scene. Joseph's childhood dreams. Remember, he had those dreams when he was a boy? And they laughed and mocked at him, and now the dreams are being fulfilled. They're bowing down to their brother. That was a dream they had when he was just a lad. Hey, can I just tell you, church, don't give up on your dreams. Joseph had a dream as a lad. And those dreams are coming to be. These boys have come to say, look, sir, our people are starving. Sir, our wells are dry. Our crops are withered. The land is barren. We come with money to buy food for our family. It came to pass. Don't ever get doubt God in the dark times. What he's showing in the light. Don't give up on your dream, number one. Number two, you don't always have to understand everything. You have to trust with faith. What faith is. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. You don't have to demand to understand. Joseph just did right. Has Satan ever whispered to you? Where's your God now? What good has it been for you to serve God and you're in this situation? I'm here to tell you, it shall. It shall come to pass. So we have Joseph's plan for the food. And we're going to see it unfold as Joseph will reveal himself to his brothers. It's one of the most amazing stories in all life. It will pull your heart. It will encourage your life. And you see a guy who's been mistreated turn it around and love him. You'll see his brothers who shake it in their boots when they find out who he is, thinking he's going to get revenge. And all he wants to do is come and hug on him and love on him and kiss him. One of the greatest story outcomes in all the Bible. So you don't want to miss this. Let's bow our heads, heads about, bow and eyes are closed. Who would ever thought that Joseph would be in that position? Well, behold, that's exactly what God had done. I might have said it last week, I'll say it today. You might be this close. You might be a page away from your chapter. You might be a chapter away from where God intends for you to be. You might be 10 chapters away. Joseph was 20 chapters away from God doing what he's going to do in his life. 20 years. Just trust him. Some believe in chariots and some believe in horses, but we believe in the Lord our God. Just trust him. He's got your back. You're here today and you feel like you're alone. You're here today. You feel like you've got you got shortchanged in life. You feel today like, hey, you try to do your best to serve the Lord, and here you are. And God's got you. And you have no better friend. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful story of Joseph. We thank you, Lord, that out of nowhere, he goes from the bottom to the top. Out of nowhere, he's promoted above everybody else in the land. Out of nowhere, the most powerful nation in the world, and he's in command. You're going to use him to reconcile with his family. You're going to use him to bring his family back. And you're going to use him to simply save his family. What a story. What a God. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us this morning. God, put you in your heart. Help you to die and pray with you. Courage and the Lord. Together, we're going to see what happens when we just trust God. It's a beautiful thing. He wants it for your life and my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for Sundays. Lord, we can come together, be encouraged, and come together and Lord, just be just motivated, Lord, to seek you, to serve you, to do what we can for others for you. And Lord, just get us behind the cross and let us hide ourselves, but just brag about you. If there's anything good about any of us, it's you. And Lord, we thank you for what you did in Joseph's life and what you're going to allow him to do in his family's life. Lord, all along, you'll get all of it. Give us a good rest today. Lord, give us a good rest of the week this week. Father, put somebody in our past this week that we might can give a smile to. We might can give some help to. We might can encourage them. And Lord, we'll thank you for that opportunity. Help us not to waste it. Help us to take advantage of it. And know that it's a sign from you that we get to simply do something for somebody else and simply be a blessing to others. Father, for that, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.